And may I extend my welcome to you all on this Good Friday. Hope you're all well. Might need to bring me down a bit, Flynn. It's going to blow everyone's minds out, I think. Ears out. Thanks, mate. Very good morning to you on this Good Friday. And obviously, today is a special day for the life of us as a church as we come to reflect on and respond to the incredible reality of Jesus' crucifixion and what that means for us on this day. So kids, you've hung in there really well. There's some activity sheets at the back. You've already got some, which is great. So feel free to grab those as we work through this today. But we are looking at the topic today, is Jesus worth it? I'm sure you agree that there are a lot of decisions and questions that we ask ourselves in life, calculations that we make that ultimately come back to this question, is something or an experience actually worth it? All the time, every day, the answers to the decisions we make is based, again, on this question, is it worth it? Is it worth it to go down to the shops to buy some fresh food or just use the leftovers from last night? Is it worth it to throw on your gym clothes in the middle, in the early morning light, jump in the car and head down to the gym for a workout? Is it worth it? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Generally, it is. Is it worth it to save up a deposit and buy a house rather than renting when interest rates are the way they are and prices are just so ridiculous? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to subscribe to Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever streaming service there is out there to watch that favourite show that you like? You and I made a calculated response or decision. We are ultimately asked that question, is it worth it to come along and worship God together on this day, Good Friday? In many of these situations, the answer to the questions, is it worth it, actually is quite marginal, isn't it, sometimes? I had to make a decision very recently when I dislocated my finger playing basketball. It wasn't too pleasant. I saw it and I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to go to ED. And I had to calculate that in mind. Is it worth it to sit there for all that time just to get this finger looked at? Or can I go to a medical center or ring my GP? It's not something I really want to be doing right now, but obviously, for me, it was worth it to get it looked at. And then after I got it put back in, I showed Kel the x-rays yesterday, wasn't too pleasant, but after I got it put back in, the doctor said I have to go see a hand specialist afterwards. And I was like, really? In my head, I was questioning, is that going to be worth it? Maybe the fact that it's still not 100% right, maybe it is worth it to go and see this hand specialist. But we're all making decisions around that question, aren't we? Is it's worth it? But every now and then a decision comes along that is not like every other decision. A decision that is probably a lot easier to make in life. And in Australia, we call these decisions no-brainers. You heard of that before, that saying, no-brainers. A decision that's so clear-cut, so obvious that there's no thought required, no umming and ahhing, we just go for it. There's quite a few commercials on TV that reflect this kind of decision-making process. IKEA, for instance, says, start your car. Go and enjoy the savings and the great opportunities you have to experience at IKEA. Start the car. KFC's version is, of course, shut up and take my money. Not my words, just relaying what the ad is. But these are examples of how advertising or marketing encourage us. These are no-brainers. Go for it. It can be a relief when a decision is made. It can be a relief when the decision is an easy one to be made, one that doesn't require much thought. Yet there are questions and decisions that need to be made that are actually quite life-altering, aren't they? Decisions and questions that we sometimes wish other people could make on our behalf, because they are just so darn hard to make. And I would argue one of life's big questions, one of the biggest questions that any one of us have to face is the question as to whether it is worth it to be a Christian. Is it worth it to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, as we've been looking at over the last few months? For those who have been with us, we've been looking at this series, Multiply. And everything that we've been looking at, I believe, comes back to this question, ultimately, is all of this actually worth it? Is it worth following Jesus? Is there any benefit in following him or being his disciple? is reading or meditating on God's word, prioritizing prayer, investing your time, talents, and money into the kingdom of God. At the end of the day, when everything is said and done, is this actually worth it? Well, I'm sure that many of us will consider some definite benefits to saying yes to this question, like it's good to be part of a loving community. Meditating and harvesting an attitude of gratitude is good for our mental health. Reading the Bible will give us some wise thoughts. For the young ones, and I'm talking more teenagers and young adults, maybe you'll find your future spouse. I did. We celebrated 9 years just the other day. Praise God. The morning tea is delicious. That might be a benefit for you for being a Christian. For many, everyone can see some small marginal benefits, but at the end of the day, as I said, when everything is really said and done, is it really worth all the effort? If you look at our generation or the younger generations, they voted with their feet and ultimately say, no, it's not worth it. I can get the benefits of what you've just said in other means, in other ways. For them, Jesus isn't worth it. It's not worth it to be a follower of him. And there are probably easier, less costly ways to get all those benefits that I spoke about. Again, we are the instant gratification generation after all. Those so-called benefits I just mentioned actually are dwarfed by the incredible, incredible reality of what we come to respond to and reflect on here today, Jesus' sacrifice on a Roman cross. Don't get me wrong, mental health, being part of a loving community, good morning tea are all very important, but again, they pale in significance in comparison to the reality of Christ's death and what that truly means for each and every one of us here today. For the reality, all of those things that I've mentioned, the reality of these things is that they are not certain. There are no certainties in life. We are not guaranteed to have good mental health, are we? We're not guaranteed to have a great loving church community. Unfortunately, we're not always guaranteed to have a great morning tea after our service. I'm sure Sundays will be brilliant, so come back for that, obviously. No pressure to those who are doing morning tea. It'll be great, I know. But what is for sure and what is for certain, as we are reflecting on here today, what I want to emphasize is the great love, the reality of this great love for you and I. This love for us is what actually led Jesus to come down to earth in the first place. Come down to heaven. And it was this love for us that sent him ultimately to the cross. Romans 5, 6, 11, again, I'll just read a small portion of that out as Nick read out. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates, models, reveals his own love for us in this. Why we were still sinners. Why we were still rebellious men and women. Christ died for us. Let that sink in for you here today. Because how beautiful is that reality, amen? How wonderful is that reality that we should have been up on that cross instead of him. Yet because of his great love for us, humanity, he came and chose to die in our place. And why? Because he deemed you worth it. Amen. He deemed you and I worth it. You and I were worth it for him. He came down and died the death that we deserve because he loves us. And not just loves us, but he adores us. Another passage to reflect on this morning is 1 Corinthians 5:21, which says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That is the heart of the gospel message right there, amen? The gospel meaning good news. That is the heart of what we come to reflect on and to respond to here today. The true essence of what today is truly all about. You know, theologically, this is called penal substitutionary atonement. A very big word and big phrase to get our heads around. But penal, meaning the penalty or the right response for someone who has committed a crime, someone who has rebelled. Substitutionary, as it explains, is to be substituted in another person's place. An atonement, at-one-ment. Christ ultimately making atonement for our sins, reconciling us back unto himself. Penal substitutionary atonement. Our sin atoned for. Our penalty paid because of what he went through right there. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom, as a ransom for many." When Jesus Christ went to the cross, when he died, he did so to pay our penalty, our wrongdoing, our sin, our mistakes, the penalty that was hanging over our heads because of our sin. Again, such is his love for us. And I challenge you and I challenge us to find a greater love in all the entire world. You will not find a greater love demonstrated or modeled to us on the romantic comedies on Netflix, for instance. You will not discover or find a greater love within your own family or within your own friends. You will not discover or find a greater love in your political party that may be your favorite. This morning, I want us again to see and to understand the magnitude of this love, the reality of this love, because this love is so strong, so real, so personal, so perfect. And I want to emphasize here today that each and every one of us can be completely, completely secure in his love. Amen. You don't have to be someone that you are not. You don't have to try and please God by living up to certain expectations, because the reality, as we've looked at previously, is that we haven't earned this love. We do not deserve it. We have done nothing to achieve it. We didn't buy this love, but rather it was a free gift bestowed upon you and I, purely again because he deemed us worth it. Generally, I think we come to a place to ascertain and realize something that's worth it based on how much we love it. Amen? Whether it's an object or a person or a thing or whatever the case may be, we deem it worth it based on how much we love that person or we love that thing or that object or that experience. If we truly love something passionately, then of course we're going to count the cost. Amen? If we do not love something passionately, then it's easy to just discard it, to ignore it, or have nothing to do with it. Think about how much Jesus must love us. Think about what led him to be brutally beaten, mocked, spat on, ultimately crucified. The most horrific, horrific of deaths that anyone could ever imagine. How often in life do we eject or press the eject button when things get hard? When things become too overwhelming, work is difficult, so we'll resign, we'll get out of it. It's not worth it. The friend of mine is just so difficult to be around. Every time we come together, we clash. This friendship isn't worth it. It's not working with my husband, my wife, or my spouse. We're always fighting. And divorce is so common this day and age, so the marriage isn't worth it anymore. So readily and so easily we press eject when things get hard, when things don't go according to plan. And don't get me wrong, sometimes we do need to press eject. Sometimes we do need to draw boundaries for our mental well-being, our health. That's the wise option. But how often do we think something is worth fighting for? How often do we easily just give up? Again, I believe the real test of whether something is worth it is when hardship hits, when it's not enjoyable as it once was. But imagine if Jesus did that. Imagine if he just pressed the eject button when everything got too hard, when he saw his beloved humanity carrying on like the way we do sometimes. Imagine if he just said, "This is too hard, I'm out." Where would that leave us? But he didn't, did he? Amen. Even when he was on the road to Calvary, he still persevered. Every hit he took, every whiplash to the back of his back that he took, he kept persevering, he continued on, he kept going because he believed again that you and I were worth it. And the reason for that is because he sees what no one else sees, amen? He's able to see beyond all the muck and the yuckiness of our lives and see us for who we truly are. You and I are worth it. Growing up, my mum and dad, who are here with us here today, and they didn't know I was going to share this story. It's all right. It's nothing major. But they had this tremendous, incredible gift, I believe, of finding something that many people would deem unworthy or trash and be able to observe it and say, actually, there's something worth in that. There's some worth in that. Whether they had garage sales, and I've said this before, or a secondhand shop, they would go and find something. And what the person may be selling may think, oh, it's not worth it. I'm going to sell it. Or other people may laugh at it and say, that's not worth it. Why would you buy that? My parents would purchase this item, whether it be a table or a chair or an object, whatever the case may be, and pour some tender, loving care into it. Restore it back to something of use once again. Transform this object into something of use once again. And that's exactly what Jesus does in our lives, amen? That's exactly what Jesus sees in us. Something, some will say that it's pretty rusty. It's done too many kilometers. It's been in a serious crash. Look at the damage inside it. Look at the scars. Why would you want anything to do with that? Yet what the cross reveals to us is that he walks in and he says, no, I love that. I care about that. I don't care where it's been or what it's done. I want to buy it. I want to purchase it. I want to restore it back to its rightful condition, to its original glory. Now tell me whether or not that is a deal good enough to refuse, whether that deal is worth it. Because for me, and I have had these situations in my life where I've had hardship and struggle and pain, and I've asked the question, Lord, is this worth it? Are you worth it? In my pain, my anxiety, my depression, what's the point of all this, Lord? But you know what? When I've looked into the reality of the cross, when I've looked at that reality right there, when I've looked into the face of my Savior and seen his great love for me, the question has always been 100%, Lord, yes, absolutely, it is worth it. And that's the reality of what each and every one of us need to ask ourselves here today. When hardships and struggles hit, or whatever the case may be, does his incredible love make Jesus worth it for you? Does his love for you make being a Christian, being a disciple, being a follower of him worth it? And if you're not a disciple, if you're not someone who proclaims faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you from my experience, he is worth it, amen? He is worth following, he is worth pursuing. And that's the reality of this event. This is really the reality of what we pause to reflect on here today, because this event has changed the course of history, amen? Jesus has changed everything, which we're coming to look at on Easter Sunday as we pause and to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This event really has changed everything. And if you haven't accepted Christ into your life, it'll change your life here today. And my prayer for each and every one of us is that when we pause to reflect on that question, is it worth it? Is Jesus worth it? my heart and my prayer is that you go, let's start the car. Shut up and take my money, not my words, just realign it. Because 100% Jesus is worth it. Amen. God gave up his life on a cross for you and I because of his great love for us, which brings us now to this time of communion, a symbol of Christ's love, a symbol of the sacrifice that we pause to reflect on here today. And if you haven't received a cup, there's some up the back, and hopefully someone can pass those around for you. But again, what this symbolizes for us who have chosen to accept Christ into our life is his body broken, the bread, is his blood shed for each and every one of us. And what is that achieved? Well, Ephesians 2 says, you were once foreigners to Israel's incredible inheritage. That's each and every one of us here today. You were without the covenants and the prophetic promises of the Messiah, the promised hope and without God, yet look at you now. Everything is new. Everything is restored. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to him through the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You've actually been united with Christ, the text says. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ by dying as our sacrifice. And in verse 16 it says, two have now become one and live restored to God and reconciled into the body of Christ. Through his crucifixion, hatred has died. As you take of these elements here today, ask the question of yourself, is Jesus worth it? And if he is worth it for you here today, then I encourage you to partake in this act of communion as a symbol of your devotion to him, as a symbol of your love for him, your passion for his name. And my prayer is as you do that, that something goes on in here. The Holy Spirit will move and remind you of his great love and remind you that you are worth it. So I encourage you to take of the bread, hold on to the cup at the end, spend some time with him in prayer and solidarity, and then we'll have the cup together in just a moment. Father God, as we come now to partake in this symbolic act, we again thank you, Lord, for this day, what it represents, what it emphasizes. Father God, may you again remind us of your great love. Remind us that we are worth it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.